So here we are at the start of Zav. This week the portion was Zav. And you know, at the start of it, we see that there are instructions for the priests. In fact, that's a lot of what Leviticus is. Instructions for the priests, instructions for us, instructions for life, instructions for sacrifices. There's a lot of instructions going on there. And close to the start, one of the instructions that when I read it just jumped out at me, as not just for the sacrifices on the altar, but there should be an instruction for us as well. And that was found in Leviticus 6:5, right at the beginning. Leviticus 6:5 says this. Let me turn on my little clicker here. There we go. The fire on the altar is to be kept burning on it. It must not go out. Each morning, the Kohen is to burn wood on it, laying the burnt offering in order upon it, and burning up as smoke the fat of the fellowship offerings. Fire is to be kept burning on the altar continually. It must not go out. The fire was to keep burning, and it must not go out. This is not just a commandment from Adonai about the altar fire, but it's also a great piece of advice for us as we go out every day living our lives. We are not to allow the fire for him to go out in us. The priests were to attend to the fire all the time. As we read the instructions, it could be seen that, you know, I wouldn't blame you for thinking, well, in the morning and the evening, they're making the sacrifices, so they have to keep the fire going then, and then they just walk away from it, at least until the next time that they need to make a sacrifice. But the instruction is to keep it burning all the time. It was never to go out. That means that when they were on the move, breaking down and setting back up the tabernacle, that fire was to keep burning, even when the tabernacle was on the move. They would take some of the fire from the altar, and they would carry it along, keeping it alive, until the altar was reset back up, and then they would start burning on that again. It also meant that each day, in fact, all the time, someone had to keep watch over the fire. This really took a lot of work on the part of the priests. If you had ever gone camping or you have a fire pit in your backyard, you know that if you want it to keep burning, you have to attend it. You can't leave it alone for very long. Even after the sacrifice was complete, consumed on the altar, the fire had to be fed with more wood in order to keep it burning all day, all the time. For us, we also need to keep up the maintenance of the fires within us for Adonai. There are some things that we have to always be doing, that we should not allow to pass from us, but we keep up doing, or we keep thinking about. There really is no time that Adonai is not a part of our lives. Yeah, there are going to be times that when we're working or doing something that, you know, you need to concentrate on. You may think you're not thinking of Adonai, but you really are, but you really have to be. You've got to be in there somewhere, right? The Ruach with us helps us keep him on our mind. The reality is that there are a lot of things that Scripture tells us to always be doing in order to be aligned with him, to be in relationship with him. Just like marriage, we can't take for granted our spouses or our children and think that their relationship with you is going to keep up and be good if you just ignore them a lot of the time. So I wanted to review a few things that we need to always be doing, always being. Think of them as attributes that'll help you stoke the fires within and keep you on the right path. If we don't keep looking where we're going, then eventually we're just going to start drifting off, heading in the wrong direction. Eventually, we could hit something that's just going to be really harmful to us if we're not vigilant in steering our lives. So the first thing is to be alive with Adonai. This is first because everything else that we do, everything else that we are, comes from being alive with Him. Without Him, we have no life. Most of us are in a place that we could say that if it wasn't for Adonai, we would have no life within us. And that's a good thing. It means that you're filled with Him. And He is pushing out the world from you. We want to be alive with Him because we believe the scriptures that say that He brings life. Remember what Yeshua said in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, slaughter, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I've often said that the truth is that you're either with Adonai or you're with the enemy. And that enemy of Adonai's is Satan. Satan comes to steal joy in life, to slaughter all that is good, and destroy your relationship with Adonai and others. Yeshua comes to do just the opposite. He brings life to us and for us, and life abundantly, now and for all eternity. We live now by the word, which is food for our soul. We're told the value of His word for us in Deuteronomy 8, starting in verse 3. He afflicted you and let you hunger. Then He fed you manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, in order to make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Adonai. These are the words that Yeshua said in Matthew 4 when Satan tried to tempt Him after He'd fasted 40 days in the wilderness. The truth that Yeshua was saying is the importance of the word for us to be in Him and in our lives. Yes, we need bread and food. We need it for our bodies to live. But to live with Him, we must always be in His Word. From Genesis to Revelation, we need to always be in it somehow. We could be reading every day or listening to the Word, play it on tapes or the internet if you're not able to read anymore. His word is important and life-giving, so we need to always be in it. It is also important for our eternity. Rav Shaul said this in his first letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, starting there. For the Lord Himself shall come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the blast of God's shofar. And the dead in Messiah shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left behind, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Shaul describes the end times just as we're told in Revelation, but a shortened version. And at that time, those who are alive with Messiah, even if dead in body, will be with him for all eternity, always with the Lord. It is the words of Scripture that we are always to be in that will keep us alive with him. It's the importance of the word for to be in the instructions for us in right living. That's what the word is for as well. So we live rightly. So that in death, in the physical, we will still have life in the eternal. But we will only have eternal life if we will always be in the word and living for him. Being in the word also is a way of always looking towards him, always having our eyes, both physical and spiritually, upon him. We are called multiple times to seek him out. Look what the psalmist says in Psalm 105. Seek Adonai and his strength. Seek his face and always. Seek his face always. Remember his wonders that he has done, his miracles and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O children of Jacob, his chosen ones. This is a call to us to always be looking towards him. Seek his face always. That's more than just reading his word. It's also praying, meditating on him and his word. Those are that the words that are on the page and those that the Ruach drops into your heart while you're praying and meditating. Even when we're during a time of in the pit, even when we're in despair, we should still be able to remember the great and marvelous things that he's done. When we are in times of trouble, it'll be hard to think of these things, but that's why we treasure them up in our hearts, so that it will be easier and more natural to draw upon them. But it's also a reason to remember to have friends in Adonai who can remind you gently that what he's done and that he has done great things for you already and will continue to do great things for you. He's given you breath for life. He's given you a friend who's closer than a brother in Yeshua. And those that he's placed in your path on your journey, he's placed them to be there with you, to help you, even through those times of trials. We need to seek out Adonai, even during the times that it feels that he's far off. And continue to seek him when he's near, because that is where his love, according to Proverbs 8, is. 8:17, I love those who love me. Those who earnestly seek me, find me. Love Adonai by always being seeking him out. You know, I try to put always be or always being in, and sometimes it doesn't flow right, but you get it. Always be seeking him out. Read his word, pray, talk about him, talk to him. You are not earnestly seeking him out if you only think about him a time or two a day. For those who think that they find the gold mine, they earnestly would dig for the gold. They'd get hot, they'd get sweaty, and every chance they had, they would dig for it, earnestly seeking it out, because they know it's the gold that's going to make them rich. earnestly seeking out Adonai for the same reason is what we need to do. He will make us eternally rich. Not only will he make you rich, but he'll protect you according to Psalm 9. Psalm 9, starting in 10. Adonai is a stronghold for the oppressed, a high tower in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust you, for you, Adonai, never have forsaken those who seek you. He is that strong, high tower that you can trust. The psalmist says Adonai's word that he will never forget you when you seek him out. By seeking him, you are showing him more than just the desire to find him. And he'll reward you for that, says the writer of Hebrews. Hebrews 11:6 says it this way. Now without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Seeking him shows your faith and trust in him. The gold prospector would not dig if they didn't have faith in the value of the gold. And Adonai knows that you would not seek him if you did not in some way know that there's a value in his relationship with him. By looking for him, you acknowledge that he is. You'd not be looking for something that you don't believe exists. And he will reward you even just for the act of looking for him. Wanting to seek him out and being alive with him also means to always be on fire for him. What does it mean to be on fire for Adonai? We get the definition from Shaul, or the Apostle Paul, in Romans 12:11. Do not be lagging in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Keep seeking the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in distress. Persisting in prayer, contributing to the needs of the Keshodim, the family. Extending hospitality. It means that we're to be zealous for him and praying fervently to and praying by the Ruach. It means wanting to serve and rejoicing with him. It means even in times of trouble, praying to him and not just for yourself, but for those around you as well. To be hospitable. You don't have a big red X on you, but be hospitable towards others. It means to love others, and I'll get to that later on. But Scripture also has some warnings about being on fire for Adonai. Let's look at Revelation 3, where Yeshua is addressing the congregation in Laodicea. 3:15. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. Oh, that you are either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. The good news is Adonai loves it when you're hot and zealous for him. But the flip side to that is the bad news is that there's no other way to be. You always need to be hot for him. This is the warning to Laodicea and to us as well. There is no place in the kingdom of Adonai for those who are lukewarm. You really can't say Adonai is a hobby that you have, or it's an on and off thing that you have. The relationship you have with him is not one that should be hidden and only comes out when you feel it's the right time. The letter to Timothy, from Shaul says it, this to all of us. 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 5. I recall the genuine faithfulness within you, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure it is within you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given you a spirit of timidity, but the power and love and self-discipline. Don't be timid. That is not the spirit he gave you. Adonai gave you a powerful spirit to use for him, and one of self-discipline so that you can go out in his power without misusing it. This self-discipline is so that you can go out into the world to share about him and Yeshua and tell you, and he tells you how to do this. Yeshua tells you how to do this in Luke 12:33. Sell your possessions and do tzedakah, do good deeds, charity. Make money pouches for yourself that do not get old, a treasure in the heavens that never run out, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Have your belt strapped and your lamps burning. Do charitable works now so that you'll make for yourself a treasure in heaven. You do that in two ways, he says. Strap on a belt, which we should remember and connect with Ephesians 4 about the armor of God, the full armor of God. What was the belt? The belt of truth. Belt of truth of his word, which you can use when witnessing to others. We're also always to have a lamp burning, fire within us. But at the end time, you know, I can see the use of the belt of truth. But in those end times, what's the burning lamp going to be? Because he's going to be our light in the New Jerusalem. That light is the fire that burns within us for him. It's the spirit within us burning bright that others will see now that we have prepared for when he returns. We have to have that fire burning in us. The only way to be ready for Yeshua's return, the only way to be ready for Yeshua's return is to have the Ruach that he sent us to be prepared for his return. Therefore, the only way to be ready is to always be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. He will give us the power and ability to live in a world we're not to be a part of, but that we're to be within. We need to be within the world so that we can reach those in the world and pull them out of the darkness into the light. Tell them the good news. The Ruach will give us the ability to speak and the power to defend ourselves when we come to leaders and others and need to give account of our faith. This is what we're told about the Ruach in Acts 1, starting in verse 7. He said to them, "It is not your place to know the time or seasons which the Father has placed under his own control, but you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and through all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." We are not to know the time that Yeshua will return, but he will give us the power to be the witness to the world. Some will say, well, I don't live in Jerusalem, and I don't live in Judah, and I don't live in Samaria. But it also says the ends of the earth. And you may not think of Georgia as the ends of the earth, and I don't either. But even past Georgia, wherever you're living, that's not the ends of the earth. You're still within that realm, and you are still called to speak of him. Those that are called as evangelists, they have that extra powerful ministry to share with and to win others, maybe at a greater rate. But we're all called by that great commission at the end of Matthew 28, to go out and share about Yeshua, our Savior, and Adonai, and all that he's created, and all that he's going to do for us. And you may say, I don't know what to say. And I say to you that there are two ways that you'll know what to say. Now, the first is that you're here, and you're hearing the word, and learning the word, and learning how to share, even just by listening to the messages, even by reading on your own. You learn his word. It becomes part of you, and you'll be able to share more fully. The second, and maybe more powerful, definitely more powerful, is told to us in Matthew 10, the words of Yeshua in Matthew 10:18. You will be brought before governors and kings because of me, as a witness to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you should say. For it shall be given to you in that hour what you should say. For it's not you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Yeshua says that you will have to speak to others because of him. But don't worry, I will give you the word to say by the Ruach. In fact, when you hear what he's really saying is that when they hear you, they're not really going to be hearing you. They're going to be hearing the Ruach speaking through you. You ever been in a situation where someone confronts you and you start speaking and you don't know, and all of a sudden it just comes out? Or if you're praying over someone and you're not quite sure what to pray, but all of a sudden it comes out. That's the Ruach speaking through you. The Ruach was sent for multiple reasons, and one of them was to speak through you. Maybe you're praying and you find that it's just flowing out. That's him. That's the work of the Ruach through you. When we don't know what to pray, when we feel weak in a situation, he's our strength. That's what it says in Romans 8. Romans 8:28 says, in the same way, the Ruach helps in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Ruach himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And coughs that just won't stop. Excuse me. When it feels like words just won't do it, and all that will come out are groans towards Adonai. That's the Ruach. Even when you're in a situation that the world is pressing in, he's there to help. As Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, the Rabbi Shaul says in Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Ruach, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Ruach, but the Ruach sets its desires against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you cannot do what you want. The world wants to press in, wants you to act on the desires of the world, on the desires of your flesh. But the Ruach will help you out of those times if you will always be filled with Him. We're to avoid those situations that press on the desires against us. But we're called to act for Him and not for ourselves. So even when we can't avoid those situations, He is there to help us handle those situations and not give in. He will help us. Ephesians 5:15 is the instructions to live. Ephesians 5:16. So pay close attention to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And do not get drunk on wine, for that is reckless. Instead, be filled with the Ruach. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. It says, don't be foolish. In other words, don't be without the Ruach. Don't be without Adonai. Getting drunk on wine is reckless, but there are other things to do that will align you with Him. Always be filled with the Ruach. Talk to others. Sing songs about Him. Give thanks in all things. In other words, rejoice always in Him. Now, I actually started this message as a one-time teaching. This was going to be the only week, but the Ruach kept pouring more and more things in. So I'm going to pick this up next week. Things we should always be doing. We should always be this, always be doing that. And we'll see how not to be foolish. So I'll stop here. I'll say, Ruach, we thank you that you give us ways to walk with you. You give us ways not to be foolish. You give us ways to be alive with you, ways to always be on fire, ways of looking towards Adonai, being filled with the Ruach. Adonai, I thank you that you give us ways of always being with you, never being alone. We thank you for your being there. We thank you for your being here in our hearts, teaching us, directing us, showing us how to walk with you. We just thank you and praise you, and everyone said, amen and amen.